Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So maybe you know there's a new film that a lot of people are talking about for its clever portrayal of gentrification, police violence, friendship, and identity. It's Blind Spotting, and it's a comedic drama set in Oakland, California, one of the nation's most rapidly gentrifying cities at the moment. In the film, a friendship between best friends, Colin and Miles, is tested over the dreadful and tenuous final few days of Colin's probation. Here's a clip.
I got 3 days left on this probation. When you got that gun on you, just don't tell me about it. Plausible deniability.
Oh, do you mean this gun?
Get out.
Good night, Colin.
So the actors you just heard are the film's co-stars and co-writers, David Diggs and Rafael Casal, who are both with me in the studio now. You may know Diggs from his role in the Broadway musical Hamilton. He originated the roles of Marquis de Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson, for which he won both a Grammy and a Tony. David and Rafael, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much
for having us, man.
David, I can't believe I'm sitting across from you. I saw Hamilton and I just love you.
Oh, man. Appreciate it.
So before we even get into the film, can I ask you how has that role and being, you know, one of the stars in Hamilton and doing everything you've done change your life?
Well, people, you know, want to talk to me now and care about my opinions on things and what I want to work on. It opened a lot of doors.
Has it changed the kind of acting you want to do?
No. I think that process served to reinforce a lot of things that I always believed. You know, that was really a bunch of friends getting together and making something we really believed in, which is the same thing that this film was that we started 10 years ago, you know. So watching how successful Hamilton was really reinforced a lot of the practices that I've been sort of running towards my whole life.
So reinforced rather than changed you politically in mm-hmm. any way, you would say, too, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I have a greater sense of being American after that show, like as a particular American responsibility. I never felt much like practicing in this experiment before, but, you know, it made me aware of my own ownership over this place.
So, Rafael, Colin and Miles are Oakland natives who adapt to their surroundings changing. How much do these characters have in common, and where do their lives begin to diverge? Set this up for our listeners. I know you won't do any spoilers on your own film.
Won't do that. Miles and Colin are essentially siblings, right? They've known each other longer than anyone. They grew up in the same community. They were raised by the same elders. They have all the same friends. They've sort of walked a very similar path through life. What's changing in this moment in the film is their context, right? The city itself is becoming a different city underneath them. The tensions of the city are changing. And a year ago, in the film, 1 year ago from where the film sort of picks up, Colin was sent to jail for a violent crime. And now he's on the last 4 days of his probation. And so we're really reaching these two men at a very heightened moment, probably the most heightened moment of their lives, where Colin is. At the opening of the film, Colin witnesses a police officer kill an unarmed black man, and he's the only one who sees it, right? He's the only one. And so the idea is that he's carrying around sort of this trauma from witnessing this thing, a city that is otherwise fairly quiet about it because these things are in such abundance nowadays, and realizing that with this changing context and sort of where Colin is in his life, he and Miles have new territory, new ground to cover in the way in which they support and are there for each other.
How much of this film is autobiographical? Because I gather you guys are actually childhood friends from Oakland, and people should know you don't just star in this film, you wrote the film. I said that in the intro, but people don't always think of that when listening to actors. So, Rafael, you want to take that?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, you know, David and I met in high school, so obviously these characters have known each other a little longer than David and I. But they're composite characters. They're based on people that we know and love and are members mm-hmm. of our community. Obviously, like, we're not Colin and Miles. We have different life experiences. But a lot of our context is very similar to them, right? We try to write a hometown story because that's something that we know very well and intimately. We know the parameters of those characters because they're based on the people we know and love. And so we tried to pack every scene with as much truth as we possibly could. So a lot of the scenarios are not necessarily, you know, autobiographical, but they are based on circumstances that we've been in. There's a lot of the scenes are pulled from either our own lives or from close friends of ours.
And what listeners to a radio show can't see is that one of you is darker skinned and one of you is lighter skinned, and that comes into play.
Yeah. As it does in
light skinned old Ralph.
Light skinned old Ralph over here. The lightest of them. yeah, man. I mean, the film does not ignore racial tensions. Like, that is a big component of gentrification of the identity of Oakland and of police tension. Right. That's so. We really wanted to create a film that essentially was starts as a buddy comedy. Right. All the characters are trying to just exist in a regular buddy comedy. But the parameter, the thing that we wanted to introduce structurally that was a bit different, or thematically, I guess, was to not ignore the world in which this buddy comedy was existing within, right? And so in doing that, it starts to spin off in a slightly different direction, because we're not pretending that that Trump isn't president. We're not pretending that police brutality doesn't exist. We're not, you know, we just try to let these things come into play as they would in anyone's life and watch the characters react to them.
So blind spotting, you're trying to point out people's blind spots?
Well, I think what the film is sort of championing, or at least what Colin is certainly struggling to have people understand, is that the term blind spotting is you know, we find out is a slang term that Janina Gavankar's character Val comes up with to refer to Rubin's vase, sort of early psychology term a lot of y'all have probably seen in books, which is either a vase or the silhouette of two faces, depending on how you look at it. The idea of that scenario is that your whole lifetime of experiences leading up to the moment that you see that conditions you to see one thing or the other. You can see the other side also when somebody points it out to you, but it's work. You have to actively work to see it. Instinctually, you're always going to only see one or the other. And so what all of the characters and I think everybody in Oakland and in changing cities around the world are sort of longing for is for folks to start doing the work to see the parts of the people in their neighborhoods that they don't see automatically, to make the effort to think harder about a person, and to try and understand context a little bit more. That'll stop you from, you know, calling the police on people barbecuing or
little
in Starbucks
like
or whatever.
Little things like that.
And David, I think it's you who said the idea for this story originated 10 years ago. So I'm curious about how it's been updated from your original vision now that you got to make it into a film. Were there certain signs of gentrification in Oakland at the time, and this has progressed or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely, you know, we had location scouted for this film several different times earlier on, and there are locations we wanted to shoot that are gone now, that, you know.
Gone meaning they've been developed into high-rise condos or?
Condos or coffee shops or something, or, you know, something that is not the location we needed to shoot.
Right.
But the biggest change in the script really has to do with the thing Raphael was talking about earlier about our sort of the national sort of numbness to these kinds of police shootings. Early versions of the script had riots and protests in them because we started coming up with this right around the time Oscar Grant was killed at Fruitvale Bar Station, and that was what an Oakland story was at the time. We were all, Oscar Grant's face was on everybody's t-shirt. We still know his name. We were protesting. The fantasy of that was that something would change, and over time it really hasn't, even though it's being reported, even though we're drawing attention to it. So I think, you know, there's a kind of fatigue that exists now where we don't. There's a, you know, we're looking for a perfect victim to warrant us getting out and protesting, in order to move the needle a little bit. And if we become aware that, well, this person was a convicted felon or something, that's not going to move the needle. It's probably not worth getting up off the couch. And that's almost a reasonable thing to think at this point, right? Because it hasn't helped it for so long.
Do you, coming from Oakland, which is a city that was down on its luck for a long time, are you ambivalent about gentrification? You know, so many cities that have growing economies that have good jobs have this exact tension. If a city doesn't have good jobs and growing economies, they don't have gentrification. Mm-hmm. So is there an ambivalence? Is there a good side and a bad side?
I think the bad side is not the new things that are in the neighborhood, right? Val loves SoulCycle, right? You know what I'm saying? There's a SoulCycle that was not there before in our film. It is there now. She's a big fan of it. The problem is not new development. It is an investment in what folks outside of the area want, as opposed to an investment in culturally what folks in the area want or need. So it's this realization that when you walk into the Starbucks and the police come to get you, that, oh, this place wasn't for me, even though I've lived here my whole life, right? That mm-hmm. this was actually developed in order to attract somebody else and in order to push me out. And there's a tightrope to walk there. You know, one of Colin's mother says it in the film, like, I'll be damned if I'm going to leave now that there's good food.
Yeah. Because there are characters in the film who are more sympathetic or more unsympathetic to gentrification.
Exactly. And participating in it in the ways that they can. And so I think the film's position on it is not necessarily one of ambivalence, but that progress in cities like this is inevitable. What we need to try and be doing is figuring out how to make sure that it is still for the people who actually helped build the city.
We have a few minutes left with David Diggs and Rafael Casal, co-stars and co-writers of the new film, Blindspotting. We should say there's a musical element in the film in the form of heightened verse. For people who don't know that term, whoever wants it, can you talk about heightened verse?
Yeah, absolutely. Rafael. I mean, heightened language is a convention that's been, you know, popular in theater as long as theater was theater. And, you know, like the idea of elevated language, one, as a great leveler to make all types of audiences lean in, and a way to take very, very dense, complicated ideas and condense them down in a digestible way that is fun. That is fun to listen to. Something that Oscar said yesterday at our workshop with the public. He was saying, heightened language is fun to hear and listen to. And we have a line in the film that says, you got to make it sound pretty. It's sort of an off-the-cuff line that Miles says to Colin in relationship to the way that Miles uses language, uses slang in the Bay Area. And that's very much the philosophy about having heightened language in the film, was in these moments where we had, where the tension was heightened, where the information was paramount. We wanted to use something that we've used our whole lives to tell stories, which is poetry and rap, which is a very narrow distinction between the two, to take these very complicated, sometimes harsh ideas and put them together in a way that really allows the audience to enjoy digesting information that we're really excited to for the characters to get across.
And David, having been in Hamilton, influenced by that in any respect in this, influenced by the way Lin-Manuel wrote, or is that unfair to you?
Well, I think it's just a misunderstanding of the timeline. You know, the skill set, we started working on this 10 years ago. I hadn't heard or thought about Hamilton at the time. I think the skill set that we brought to this is the same one that connected me with Lin, is the same, you know, I'm involved in both projects for the same reason.
I got to ask you before you go, were you in the cast the night that Mike Pence?
No, I was gone.
You were gone by then?
Yeah.
That must have been heavy for the...
Yeah, it was a wild time for all of the existing casts at that point.
So Blindspotting opens in limited theaters this weekend. I can say the full trailer for the film is on our website. You want to give people a little pitch, tell them why this is worth their go see it on the big screen dollars?
It's a big screen movie. It is. It's so much fun. It is, you know, we're from a theater background, which means we really do create things to be seen with a group of people. It is more fun to see it with a group of people.
Film about community, and it's best to see it with a community. It's big and wide sprawling viewpoints of Oakland, and we can't wait for you to check it out on the big screen.
Is it a liberation at all to work in film after working in theater, where you kind of have to do the same thing every night, to be able to do takes and, you know, get it exactly right and have the finished product? Or don't you look at it that way? 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's just different. It's just different.
Daveed Diggs and Rafael Casal, co-stars and co-writers of the new film Blindspotting, that does open in limited theaters this weekend. And again, the full trailer for the movie, if you want to see it, is on our website at wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Thank you both so much for coming
in. Thank you so much for having us, man.